Sunday Sport on RTE Radio 1.
I'm an ordinary Joe Soap. I'm not a superstar or any of that. Who was lucky to be asked to do something 19 years ago, and it's my passion. It's my hobby. This is my life. Dick Redmond, kit manager. The backroom team is as important as everything else. When the players arrive in, whatever he wants, he just walks over and puts his hand on it. And that's what our job is, to make sure the player wants for nothing. The whole backroom team, the staff and the team itself, they're just one big family. Oh, someone's phone going off, that's a fine. Martin used to hate people with hands in their pockets. It's a fiver fine. And we used to say it goes to the kitman's Christmas party. Roy used to be great. He'd say, tell Martin, quick, he has his hands in his pockets, quick, quick, quick. You know, so it's a bit of fun. When the boss talks, it goes really quiet. They walk out and they're a little bit taller. His team talks are just incredible. Fellas just want to go out there and, you know, die for the short. Roy would be one of the coaches then that would go over to a player personally and, you know, and how can the player not just take something from that? Because the greatest player in the world is talking to him. Players are very, very superstitious. So when they get a result, if they put their left boot on first, they'll put their left boot on first the next game. Robbie Keane and Seamus, the last thing to do before they leave the dressing room is call me over to put the armband on, a little hug, and out we go, we're ready to do a battle. That makes you feel part of the team. I decided that if we qualify for the Euros, I would do a Superman thing. So when the lads were doing the lap of honour, get into the costume, and when all the boys came in, everybody was buzzing, the atmosphere was unbelievable. I just came around the corner and the rest is history.
160 and I go to France!
People are saying, what are you going to do if we qualify for the World Cup? There'll be plenty more surprises, I think, coming from this end of the table.
Kit Manzi, congratulations, Dick.
Brilliant.
I love it.
Thanks very much. I'm treasure that now.
Well, there you have it. That's the man himself making headlines this week, hanging up his last ever bag after 21 years as the Republic of Ireland's kit man. Dick Redmond, these must be surreal times for you.
Ah, they are, yeah. It's a change, isn't it? Like 21 years. But look at the time stands for nobody and stands still for nobody. And I've had a great 21 years, you know. So I'm delighted to be able to do what I've done for my country.
Has it flown by?
It has. From that first game, actually from learning the trade from Brian Kerr's kitman Podge to going and doing my first game with Don Givens, you know, it's just flown through.
Yeah, it's only, I would imagine, when you sit back and you reflect on all those years and all those managers that suddenly you realise that how many years of Irish football you've been associated with.
Yeah, yeah, and even before that, involved in Lansdowne Road and security and selling programmes and, you know, running junior football and running my own club, Whitehall Celtic. So it's a long, long time. I'm 63 now, so it's a long, long time in football. But it's very rewarding because, you know, you make so many, many, many good friends.
Yeah, and a hard one as well to walk away from, I'd imagine. Like, was staying on an option at all, Dick?
Wasn't an option, no. Stephen was bringing his own kitman in, and I can understand his loyalty to his kitman. You know, but and I wish him the very best of luck. So, I mean, Stephen's success is the whole country's success. So, I mean, we all have to get behind it.
Yeah, and look, I'm sure everybody understands that too. For you then, where did it start? How did you first get the call to say, listen, come in here, we want you to do this job?
Well, it happened when Bernard O'Bourne was the CEO, and I have to say I owe him a lot of credit. He was the CEO at the time of the FBI, and he called me in one day. He was also the chairman of the AUL, where I was a member, and he said, look, would you like to be a kit man for the 21s? You know, and I said, well, what do you do? And he said, you do what you've done with your club, Whitehall Celtic. He said, and everything's, you know, take from there. So that was the start of the journey, and it's brought me all over the world. It's unbelievable where I've been, and, you know, but that's how it started all those years ago, 21 years ago.
And when you think about highlights, there must be so many for you, but for anybody who has seen the night that Ireland qualified for the 2016 Euros, you dressing up as Superman went viral. So for anyone who hadn't seen you before, that was the moment that the world knew who Dick Redmond was. Tell us how that came about.
It was just a thing that I'm the Joker of the pack, really, and I had planned it for the France when we were beaten by the very famous Thierry Henry handball. I had his costume with me and I said I'd love to just go on the plane coming back, because the playing can be a bit of crack as well, and especially if you win, you know, Spirits Ahoy, everybody's having a sing song, and this would have been great just to go into the toilet and go back out and run down the plane and dress as Superman. But it didn't happen. But I always kept the costume, and I always made a promise to myself that if we ever qualified, I would do something like it for the crack. And that, like, I never dreamt it was going to be filmed in that dressing room, because, you know, the dressing room is sort of a private area for players after the game. But, you know, it just happened, and the president was in, and the CEO was in, and everybody was in, and Carlsberg were in, throwing a drink everywhere. But it was great. And then I came around the corner, and then the rest is sort of history, isn't it?
And the thing is, as you rightly say, the dressing room is kind of somewhere where we don't normally get to go. But what was very obvious that night was your relationship with the players. They were all jumping all over you, and it did look like they were loving having the crack with you as much as you were loving having the crack with them.
Yeah, because you're the guy that's dressed up as the funny character. They're not, you know what I mean? So they can't do that, because they'd be probably, you know, ridiculed everywhere, whereas I'm just an ordinary Joe Soap. But we have that just bond, the players and the staff, you know, the last so many years has been very, very close. And like when they're living together for 10 days, it's like cabin fever, but someone has to lighten the load. And, you know, there's different characters out there that lighten the load. I lighten it my way. You know, and I just seem to get on with the players. You know, I've a really, really close relationship with all the players. I've never had a bad player in the 21 years, you know, give me grief.
You must have had favourites then, though, Dick. I mean, were there any ones that you had a particular fondness for who might have been the rogues going along with you?
You know, you'd have loads of favourites, you know, but John O'Shea would always be my they call him my love child.
I'm sure he'd love that.
John was so good to me and so nice. You know, and Robbie Key, and there's loads of them. Richard Dunne, and, you know, Darren Gibson stopped me going home from Poland when we were in the Euros in Poland, because I was so unwell with my knees. You know, they're players that will always, you know, they'll always stick to you. Seamus Coleman ringing me the other day, you know, that's brilliant. You know, they'll always stand with you, you know, and stick in your mind.
I saw you sharing a story about, you know, when the players were going out, that even Robbie Keane and Seamus, when they became captain, that the last thing they did was put on their armband and give you a hug and go out. And they're the memories that stay with you, Dick, aren't they?
Of course it is. Like, you know, I'm an ordinary guy from an ordinary area, which, you know, junior football, and suddenly I'm in an international dressing room and Robbie Keane or Seamus Coleman or any captain, but they were always the two that the very last thing, you know, they call you, where's Dick? And, you know, nobody else put the armband on them. It's just a superstition that they have. They stick with it, you know. And when players win matches and they do something different, they'll always do that something different because they're superstitious and, you know, it brought them luck, things like that. So it's things like that. And that's a great honour for me to say, you know, I've just done that for the last 11 years with the senior team, putting the captain's armbands on them. Great.
Yeah, it's a lovely memory, isn't it? I was going to ask you about those superstitions, Dick. Was there? You must have come across some mad ones in your day.
Well, yeah, like fellas from sitting down and listening to the music before the match, and they're in the zone, and you won't get them out of that zone, no matter what you do. Like other lads are sort of nervous, and I might do a little dance across the dressing room to the music, and they'd all have a little laugh, but some of them just wouldn't even take their eyes up. They're in their little zone, you know. And then if a player, you know, puts his right boot on first and he has a great result, and he tends to put his right boot on first all the time, or even a number. I remember one of the players, I think it was Sean Walters, said to me, Dick, where did you get that number from? I know John Higgins done a story recently about it, but I remember John Walters, he said, Dick, where did you get me that number from? I said, well, it's just the number that was available. I said, but you scored 2 goals. So he said, I'm going to keep that number. You know, so it's things like that. It's unbelievable, the superstitions that players do have. And like in all walks of life, people have superstitions, you know, and they stick with them. But they're all simple ones, but, you know, they like them. It's their comfort zone, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, if they are fighting over the numbers, you know, that's the tricky part, because you're balancing that, so is the manager. He just wants them to play. But if two lads want the same number, who's the boss there? Is that you?
I'm Kofi Annan. We'll always sort it out. You know, look, players are very, they respect seniority, you know. So if a young player comes in, he wears number 6, and someone else is wearing number 6 for the last 2 years. Even though he might get in on that game and that number 6 player is not there, he knows that he's going to give that number 6 back to that senior player who's been wearing it for the last 2 years. And I've never had a problem ever like that, you know. And there is players that love to wear the number 9 and love to wear the number 10, you know, but you'll always get around it. You'll never have that problem with players.
Yeah. What about managers then? I guess you've seen a lot of them in your time with Ireland. Who were the characters? Who were the ones who you had a particularly good relationship with?
Well, believe it or not, I've only worked under 3 senior managers, and there's 3 great management teams. It's never always the manager. It's always the manager, and you know, like it was Clapper with Tardelli and Martin with Roy and Mick with Terry, and they've all been brilliant. You know what I mean? You know, but they're different characters. You know, you can understand Clapper was totally different to Mick. You know what I mean? And Martin was probably different from Trapp, you know what I mean, that type of way. But 3 great management teams, but I have to go back up to when I started, to Don Givens. Don Givens had to be, he was my father, you know, he looked after me for 10 years. He was the best of ever, you know, of the managers that I worked under, personally, as a friend. The other 3 management teams, great management teams, not as close to me and Don, but 3 great management teams, and, you know, we've had great, you know, times over the last 11 years.
Yeah, he obviously had a great time for you too. I was actually at the press conference last year when he told the story that Robbie Keane was scouting a few players, and he texts Mick to say, Redmond's gone, he's declaring for England. And Mick texts back to say, Dick. And Robbie said, no, Nathan. And Mick says, oh, thank God, it's not Dick.
Yeah, Mick has, you know, been a great manager, a great friend to me. And I remember the day, because he said to me, by the way, you're going to be in the paper tomorrow. He goes, why? And he told me the story. But then when I seen the actual video of it, I think he used an expletive.
He used a different word than what I said there.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It was so funny because straight away you say to yourself, Jesus, you know, he thinks of me, you know, in probably a higher regard than Nathan Redmond. That's good for me. It's good for my family. It's good for my friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it was, because look, that's, I suppose in a lot of ways, you know, these environments that you're working in, they're high pressure. So if you can take the pressure away and bring a bit of life to it all, I would imagine that's a welcome thing for everybody involved.
Yeah, and you're dead right, Jackie. It is a really high pressure situation. Because, I mean, there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of people relying on that one result, and the pressure sometimes will get the players, you know, and you're waiting 3 days to kick off a playoff game against somebody, you know, so you have to have that little bit of a relief, that, you know, otherwise the pressure cooker, you know, and that relief is up on the floor in the hotel where, you know, we've all done mad things just to get a laugh out of players, and then they start talking to their families, you know, like, you won't believe what happened, this fella done this, you know, but that's, you have to have that otherwise,
yeah,
you know. You get that explosion, which I've never seen. So it's great to see, you know, that the lads can unwind with a little bit of banter.
As you walk away from it now, Dick, what are you going to miss the most?
I'm probably going to miss the preparation, you know, because it starts well before the squad is even announced. Like, you know, you get nervous before the squad's announced, because the manager might announce 28 players, and you know only 23 can put a jersey on, and you're trying to do all the sizes and myself and Mick Lawler would get together, and you know, weeks beforehand, see what we need from Umbro. Umbro would look after us, and then get into the hotel and meet this rest of the backroom team. We're like a little family, and then it kicks off when the players comes in, and each player comes in, and you know, they're so polite, they're so nice, you know, and they give you time, you know, and it's very, very heartwarming that players of that calibre, you know, would talk to you one on one and tell you their problems and have a laugh with you. You know, it's great.
And look, it's a lifetime of memories as well, Dick, isn't it? You said there even, this has been your life, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Like my job, I own a company with 2 other lads, Superior Racking, but that's just a hobby. Football was my life, all my life, and I've always done it. My kids grew up with football. They came to the games, you know, through the bad weather and the good weather, and that's what, and the whole country's full of people that love football and give their life to it. You know, I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones that was given this dream job just by chance. And there I go from, you know, a pitch in Whitehall to a stadium like the Aviva.
Oh, that's a lovely story. I presume you're still going to go following Ireland all over the world even now this journey has stopped?
Yeah, would you believe it? My company have a box in the Aviva for the last 2 years and I've never been in it for a match. So I will certainly be enjoying that part of it. My friends, all our holidays were always planned around when Dick is available. Now my friends have said to me, listen, we can now go to away games as part of our holidays. You know.
Now the problem is we just have to wait for those games, Dick.
Yes, yeah. You know, look, it's very hard, and you can't see when it's going to happen. You know, but please God, we'll all get through this pandemic. You know, and come out the other side and battling again. But look, we've had them all before, haven't we? We've had SARS, the Asian flu, the Mexican flu. They've all come and gone. I know they've taken lives, but at the end of it, when we get out the far side, we'll be stronger, and we'll have a lot to look forward to. This Irish team are going places. They're a very, very good, talented bunch. And what's coming up through the 21s and that and 19s, you know, excellent. So I would hold, you know, favour for the future. We're going to do well.
Well, fingers crossed you're right. Dick, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for talking to us.
No problem, Jackie.
Sunday Sport on RTE Radio 1.